Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Andrea.
All right, thank you, Andrea. So this is the WFRC Budget Committee hearing for March 14th, 2014 or 2024. Whoops, 10 years behind the times. So we'll go ahead and start. I don't know if we need introductions. Do we need introductions? Do you guys ever, does everybody know everyone, or do you want to do that, Andrew and
Think we
Marianne
know
mainly?
everybody.
We know everyone, but we'll need to probably read names. But let's maybe wait until we have more, or how will we add? Like, just so we can get it at our most, when we have most on.
Well, we will change the agenda a little bit, not do the action items right now, but we will do public comment. So, is there anyone who would like to do public comment at this time? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on. I'm going to turn the time over actually to Marianne to tell us what she'd like. Which order you'd like us to go in since we don't have a quorum at this time.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree. Let's save those action items of approving the minutes and the financial statements, and they may even need to be pushed to the next meeting until we have a quorum. So we do have our major com the conversation we need to have today is around our goals, budget, and work program for FY25. And so that is the agenda item that we'll spend a little bit of time on. And the first part of that is the goals, which Andrew's going to talk about, and then I can address the budget.
Marianne, thank you. So those of you that have been doing our budget committee for a while will remember we have our regular course of flow through the year. This is the first meeting that initiates the annual goal setting of the goals, budget, and work program. In March, we may have budget committee meeting that we're doing right now. We present to you the draft goals, budget, and work program. You have the opportunity, of course, to ask questions, to ask for modifications, and then we take it to the full WFRC Council, again as a draft, at the March meeting in 2 weeks or so. At that meeting, then it's presented, and then the council votes to release it for public comment. It's out. And then we come back in May. We have another budget committee meeting to address any modifications that may be needed, and then vote to approve in May for fiscal year 25. Okay, so that's what we're doing here today. Commissioner Newton, thank you for joining us. Welcome. One, two, three, four. Okay, so we will have a quorum when Mayor Ramsey joins us in just a few minutes. That's great. So the goals, that's the first step. These goals are put together as a starting point by the WFRC staff. And what I'll note to you first is that the goals are largely the top line goals. There are four of them, and they are largely consistent what we're proposing for next year with what we have this year. And Marianne, can you just blow that up a little bit so it's actually readable on the screen? What we're going to do here is I'll just walk through the high level goals, one, two, three, four, and then we're going to take you to a red line version that shows the modifications that we're proposing to make. Okay. Goal number one here, collaboratively advance the Wasatch Choice vision as a framework for integrating transportation, land use, and economic development to address growth-related opportunities and challenges and maintain and enhance quality of life. I will just note that that last phrase, maintain and enhance quality of life, is actually a proposed new add to the goal. And the thinking is, what is actually the ultimate purpose of our work? Let's say it, and that's what it is, okay? Second is to effectively administer ongoing plans and programs. Third is provide subject matter expertise to federal, state, and local officials and policymakers. This is where, if you will, the legislative work falls. And then the fourth is strive for organizational excellence, our administrative and budgetary functions. So those are the four top line goals. Marianne, just go back up to the top for one sec. I'll just note to all of you, we tie these to our mission statement about building consensus and enhancing quality of life. And then the roles that we have as an agency. Now let's go to the red line, which shows the proposed modifications. I will note to you that there's more red. The amount of red suggests that there's more significant changes than we're actually proposing. Okay. And obviously all this was sent out to you in your materials. Most of these modifications are more sort of stylistic changes and some modest substantive proposed substantive modifications. I would say in the first goal, most of the modifications that you're seeing on your screen here really are more stylistic than they are substantive. If you go to the second set of goals, you see on goal number on the first sub goal. So again, effectively administer ongoing plans and programs. The first sub goal is about this principal job, primary job that we have at WFRC to develop and adopt the regional transportation plan. So in this past fiscal year, we adopted the plan, which folds up into the unified transportation plan. And so looking ahead, we're changing that to begin development of the 2027 to 2050 regional transportation plan. The theory is the work is continuing. We're always looking ahead. We're always updating our plans. And I would note two sort of key focus areas. They're a little long, but I just want to highlight them to you because I think they're important. Number one, explore, this is sort of in the middle of the page there, Romanet one, right there. Exploring aspirational opportunities for multimodal transportation choices for state and local roads, transit, and active transportation, balanced with pragmatic consideration of contexts and costs. Okay, so that's a mouthful. But what that's aiming to get at is we think that we should be being aspirational in our visioning. And not have aspiration and vision automatically limited by the more pragmatic considerations, but we need to be balancing those. For example, this often comes up in, like, let's say in Southwest Salt Lake County, people saying we need more transit service in Southwest Salt Lake County. In Morgan County, it's let's develop the I-84 interchange. I mean, in all of your areas, you could think about these things. And often the answer sort of is quickly, we don't have the money for that. We don't have the money for that. And we're trying to make a sort of a distinction between what is an aspirational approach that would be beneficial. And then with a consideration, a pragmatic consideration, of course, then of context and costs. But we don't want to limit. I think I've made the point. So does that make sense? Okay. And then the sort of second notion here is coordinating transportation with city and town centers, housing options, parks and public spaces, and economic opportunities. This is the Wasatch Choice Vision top line strategies. And we're putting them here to be clear that we want to weave that coordination of transportation in with land use into our RTP. So I just want to maybe pause there just for a moment, because there's sort of a lot of substance there. It's not radically different than what we've talked about before, but just to see if anybody has any questions or comments about that element.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments?
Amy, I think that one of the things about this particular goal, as we start to see development in our valley, is critical, is those last two sentences, the cities and towns in Twilla County need to understand and buy into, because that's really what transportation funding is going to look like, and that they need to be able to see that. I don't know if we've had that discussion with Erta City, Lake Point City, Twilla City, because they have pushed back on some of those concepts of town centers, housing options, not the other parks and other things. So,
and I would just, council member, you're giving me an opportunity to highlight that we at WFRC would never be trying to tell those communities what to do, right? But we're providing information to help the communities think about what's the interplay among these issues and what are the options for how you grow in the future.
Yeah. I think it would be important to educate on these matters though,
okay,
because it, the bottom line is we are the poster child in a couple of our cities for why the state is coming into the housing top-down approach. So I think it's important to understand that with transportation too.
Great comment. Thank you. Anyone else?
I'll keep going. Please interrupt at any point. The next thing in this goal that I want to note is the addition of the local administrative advisor. You may remember this is funding that came from the state for us to provide assistance and hire a person, which we've done, Madison, she's terrific, to help the smaller communities in our region that don't have dedicated staff, city managers and such. So just adding that in, I wanted to note that. Moving on to goal number three, provide subject matter expertise to federal, state and local officials and policymakers. Again, there's a bunch of red here, but there's actually not a lot of substantive change. It's more stylistic, you know, looking ahead at the next federal transportation authorization, other tweaks here. I will, if you move down a little bit, Marion, right, a little more right there, at the very bottom of H, you'll see, and Mayor Silvestrini, this is familiar to you, work with partners and stakeholders to address ozone air quality conformity challenges. I don't want to get into it in much detail now, but most of you have heard this in our previous meetings that we have a challenge with satisfying the very stringent ozone requirements that are imposed by the Environmental Protection Agency, essentially. And we're working with all of our partners to figure out how to navigate those challenges. So important issue as we look ahead. And then item four, again, is strive for organizational excellence, accountability, transparency. I'll just note we're emphasizing communication to our members and to our stakeholders to make sure that we're in dialogue, we're providing information, we're getting feedback back from you, our members, and from our stakeholders. And we've taken off appropriate balance between telecommuting and on-site office work. It's just now the new norm. So I don't think we need to have that as a new goal anymore. So that's a walkthrough of the draft goals. It's really important, but again, most of it is not significant modifications. So Councilmember Winder-Newton, like we'd be happy to answer any questions or get any feedback, but that's the proposed goals for the next year, which align with the budget and align with the overall work program as well that we're going to go into in a minute.
Thank you. I think this looks really great. I appreciate some of the changes that you've made and love some of the restructuring just to make it cleaner that way too. So does anyone have any comments or questions?
I'll just say, I think I appreciate elevating the ozone discussion because I think it's going to be ever more prominent in our policy discussions in our state.
Indeed.
Great comments.
And Mayor Silvestrini, I'd like to actually have a few updates, technical updates for you that Wayne and I would want to talk to you about, you know, maybe next week at some point. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay. Well, then that actually gets us through the goals. Our suggestion is that we do goals, budget, work program, and then ask for one action to recommend that these be taken to the council and released for public comment. Okay. So now, if it's all right, Madam Chair, I'm going to turn to Marion, okay, to go over the budget and with one introductory comment, and that is there's not a lot of change happening in the budget this year. It's a relatively normal budget year looking ahead again. So just with that one sort of big picture context, I'll turn it to Marion to give you some explanation.
Excellent. Thank you. I have pulled up the draft 2025 budget here, and the columns that we are initially comparing are highlighted in gray, if you can even see that, which is the final column here, the proposed budget, which we're comparing to the same budget of last year. And so that's the main comparison that we make as we're creating this initial budget, which basically represents all of the new funding that we anticipate for FY25. And so this, as Andrew pointed out, correlates to our goals and correlates to our work program. This is the financial side of that picture. So the overall budget increase that we're proposing is a 9% increase, or just under $1 million. And you can see that the majority of our expenses are here in the top two lines, which are employee compensation, which includes salaries and fringe benefits, medical, retirement, et cetera. And so the majority of our expenses are in those top lines, the employee salaries and benefits and the contractual line. So the 7% increase that you see here in the employee compensation line, every year we create a cap for that spending. This doesn't mean a 7% increase in salaries. This means a 7% increase in that budget line item, which makes room for the COLA and the health benefit increases that we will see over this year that will be later determined. So we wanted to make sure that there's enough room in there to make the increases that we need to make. And we do look at our partner counties, the state, and the CPI to determine that later in the spring. On the contractual line, you can see that goes up 13%, which is about $500,000 if you look at the initial budget to initial budget. And the most useful place to see that growth, because the rest of these lines are staying relatively stable, is I'm going to scroll down to the program section. Does that work for everybody? So we're seeing the budget in three different ways, one by function, one by program, and then the final page that we'll look at is the revenue side, the flip side of the coin. So this is also expenses, but grouped by program. And you can see here that these are all of the programs that we work on here at WFRC. And the main increase is this $500,000 that you see at the bottom. The Power District Transportation Study was just approved in this most recent legislative session. And so it was added to our budget because it's funds that are appropriated directly to WFRC to do this work in FY25. You can see the other numbers are fluctuating as multi-year projects come into the initial budget. And then in the amended budget, we capture all of that work. And then again, this initial budget represents just our new funding for next year. In FY24, we did finish three projects, the household travel survey, the Safe Streets for All project, and also some funds that we had from the state for economic development planning. We finished that project as well. So that's why those three are zero. And then our work on station area planning is ongoing. We're sharing those funds with Mountain Land Association of Governments. And so what we've captured here are the final funds from that initial $5 million that we were splitting with MAG to work on station areas in both of our areas.
And that was state funding that came to us and MAG through GOEO specifically for this purpose of station area planning.
Exactly. And so you can see that I'm estimating this 12.5 for, we're guessing for this year, and those actual expenses I'm guessing are $2.5 million more than the $10 million of 1 year ago. We probably won't hit that number, but I'm guessing conservatively, of course. And that basically captures the $1 million on the Safe Streets for All, $1 million in the station area planning, and some other ongoing projects that we have. So those are new for this year that were considerable projects.
Yeah, let me offer just a brief supplement to that, and also note that Mayor Ramsey has joined us. Welcome, Mayor Ramsey. Our budget again generally is and maybe Marion, will you go back up to the first page? Our budget in many ways is very stable year to year in most of the sort of normal budgetary items. The item that fluctuates really significantly is the contractual line item. And as you can see, as you look across the sheet, $4 million, $11 million, $6 million, almost $5 million. And we always want to remind you of this as a budget committee, because again, if you look at this, you're like, what is going on here? The reason for this is there's twofold reasons. One is money comes in for specific projects. As Marion noted, Safe Streets for All, we got a grant from the federal government to develop the Comprehensive Safety Action Plan of near $1 million. you know, we get other grants that have come in for specific purposes, like the station area planning, and those ramp up our contractual spending. Also, and importantly, we budget for expenditure of a full contractual project in the year that it initiates, but then often those contracts roll over from one year to the next. So we budget for it, and then it carries over into the next year, which is why you see this sort of bubble that runs through our budget years. And we'll note that, Marian, when we get to October, when we finalize our numbers from the previous year, we always come back and amend the budget and carry money forward. So that item on contractual, that's 4.8 right now, ultimately that will go up as we finish out FY24 and then roll forward contractual money into 25. So
exactly. That was my next point.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're just fine. So any projects that are underway, so as we budget, as we close out FY24, any projects that are underway that we have not completed, which are projects in the Transportation and Land Use Connection Program, the station area planning, many of these projects that we do are multi-year. And so those funds will carry forward into the final amended budget, and you will see that contractual line go up. But I wanted to point out that the actuals often come back down to what we anticipated for the year. So it's a holding place, and an important way for us to account for the entirety of those contracts and of that work, but does not end up representing a large increase in an actual annual budget, actual annual spending. So we talked through the program side, and then I'll cover the revenues, and then definitely I'm happy to answer any questions. The revenues, of course, as I said, are the flip side of this picture. And it's really important to show, I can't get all of it quite on the screen here, but out of this 11 something budget, 7 million is federal funding. So the bulk of our work is funded by the PL and STP funds from the federal government. And that's important that we note that that support and that mandate for the work that we're doing. But the other thing I think is really well shown by this revenue side is the collaborative nature of the work that we're doing, that we have really strong support from the state and from our local governments. And so on the state side, you can see that the entire increase is right here in stationary planning and power district, which we talked about. So those are projects that we're doing in partnership with UDOT, with GOEO, and we have the Governor's Office of Planning and Budget. And I think it's really important to see that level of state partnership in the work that we're doing. On the local
side, which by the way has grown over the past few years, small part due to the engagement from some of you on this call who have worked really hard to help promote good investment and good planning at the regional and local level. So I know Mayor Silvestrini and Mayor Ramsey, you two have worked really hard on this with us. So thank you very much.
Yeah, it's really, I think, really apparent in this side of the budget. On the local funds, of course, provide the required match that we have for our federal funding. And they also support work that isn't covered by our federal grants. And so each year, you all know, local county contributions are budgeted to increase based on a 3-year average change in the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. And that keeps us stable, helps us keep up with that inflation. And WRFC also partners with Mountainland. You'll see MAG here, UTA, and then this dedicated project funds, which again balloons in our amended budget because those are the funds that are being contributed by local cities and communities and counties for projects that we're doing in those areas. And so I think that this really represents everyone coming to the table. I see it from the finance side. Everyone's coming to the table financially to support this planning in the region. And so that's what dedicated projects funds is. Now, there is some detail in our footnotes. All of these tiny numbers on the side are footnotes in a document that follows, which gives a lot more detail on the sections of the budget. So I'm happy to answer any questions here, any questions anytime. If you have more time to read through this and find you have another question, please get in touch with me. But are there any questions now?
So I have a question for you. On the, remind me, on the Power District Transportation Study funds that we received, did the legislature give us what we needed for that? Is it what, I mean, when they were asked?
Yeah.
Where did that number come? Remind me where that number came from.
Yeah,
is it going to cover all of our costs to be able to do that?
Yes, I can answer that question briefly. The request was $500,000 and the appropriation was $500,000. And okay. that money will be used, our anticipation is that money will be used for hiring consultants. And then WFRC, UDOT, UTA, Salt Lake City, private sector will put in time and energy, but we'll use the state money for consultants. And that's great because we thought we might have to come up with some money out of our budget and we don't. So we actually got exactly what we asked for, which is terrific.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you. Does anyone else have any questions?
Nope.
Excellent.
All right. Sounds good. Go ahead.
Councilmember Winterton, thank you very much. I'll say this, we went through this quickly. And at any point, if any of you want to go into any more detail or, you know, talk to us and ask other questions offline, we are always happy to do so. As Marion said, we put a lot of detail, not just into the budget, but also into the footnotes. And that's part of that being transparent. We want to show our work, so to speak. And we always like to go through this with you, particularly given that one interesting sort of fluctuation in the contractual line item as we've described. Otherwise, though, again, it's a relatively normal budget year. But if you don't have any questions, we can move on. So,
yes.
Okay.
So next on the agenda, we do have a quorum now, and we do have on the agenda a review of the UPWP summary. Our work program summary. I'm not sure if that's something we want to discuss. It's in your packets. It's basically a fleshing out of all of the information that we've presented here.
Yeah, Wayne, can you just take 30 seconds and explain what is the UPWP and why do we prepare it?
You bet. Thank you. So the work program, the Unified Planning Work Program is prepared in coordination with UDOT and UTA. And it's basically our application to FTA and FHWA for the funding, the federal funding that comprises the majority of our budget. And it goes into the summary is just a quick snapshot of anticipated products and objectives for each of a dozen areas of work. And there's about and they've been captured pretty well at a high level in the goals. There's close to 100 pages of detail behind that summary in the entire work program document. If you ever care to look at it, that's a brief synopsis of the work program.
Thank you.
So,
any questions on that from anyone?
No.
Okay. Go ahead, Andrew.
I was just going to say, council member, that is the summary then of our draft FY25 goals, budget, and unified planning work program. And the proposed action here again is that the budget committee would vote now, and we do have a quorum, to recommend that the council, the Wasatch Front Regional Council, release at its meeting on the 28th, I think it is, release this for review and comment, for review and public comment. And then we would again come back in May with some updates as needed and then final action on these for the next year.
Great. So I'm looking for a motion to release that to the public.
I'll make a motion that we release these matters for public comment as Andrew stated.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion by Mayor Silvestrini, a second by Commissioner Newton. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that passes unanimously. We do have another item, item number two, which is approval of our minutes from October 16th, 2023, and acceptance of the financial statements, as well as the budget expenditure report to date. Andrew, do you guys have anything you want to say about any of those, or are you good with us making a motion on that?
I'm fine, Marion.
I'm good as well. Yeah, the it's all reports that I've prepared that I want to make sure that you have a chance to see, but it's pretty self-explanatory.
Great. Is there a motion?
So I'm happy to make a motion to approve the financial statements and the minutes. And what was the third thing?
The budget expenditure report.
Budget expenditure report.
I'll second that. Oh, you've got it, Mayor.
No, it's okay. Give it to Scott. That's totally fine.
Okay, we have a motion from Mayor Silvestrini, a second from Councilmember Wardle. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Are there any opposed? All right, that also passes unanimously. So we will go to the executive director report, unless you have, I know we already covered some things. Do you have anything else that you want to add there, Andrew?
I only have 8 things to cover with you. It should take only about 45 more minutes. No, I actually don't. I'm happy to answer any questions or if anybody has any, but I would just say how much I appreciate your willingness to take the time to go over this with you. And I said this already, I'll sort of say it one more time, which is we really do take very seriously that goal number 4 in our work, which includes ensuring accountability, transparency, and communication to WFRC's members and stakeholders, and use resources prudently and efficiently and maintain budget stability. So we welcome your careful review of the budget, your questions, your comments at any point. Marion said this already, but just to be clear, just because we budget it, we don't have to spend it. And oftentimes we budget to give ourselves a degree of flexibility and we come in under budget. That's something that we've talked about in the past. I just wanted to emphasize that as a sort of as a practice and a philosophy, if you will. With that, we're just happy to look ahead to another successful year in FY25.
Great. Well, thanks to all of you for your hard work. We're so lucky to have such great staff at WFRC. And thanks to all of you for joining today on this committee meeting, and hope you have a wonderful Thursday. Our next meeting is May 9th. Andrea, do you have something?
I did. I would just like to read the attendees for the record.
Oh, perfect. Thanks.
Okay. So today's attendance, we have Don Ramsey, Scott Bartle, Jeff Silvestrini, Amy Wonder Newton, Mike Newton, and then from WFRC, Andrea Pearson, Andrew Hoover, Marion Florence, Kevin Wells, and Wayne Benning. Thanks.
Perfect.
So Madam Chair, if I might, Andrew and Wayne, do you have time to talk right after this about
yeah.
the ozone stuff? I can do it then if you want.
Yeah, we could do just for a few minutes. That'd be great.
Sure. Okay.
Do you want to just stay on the Zoom for a minute?
That's what I would propose to do.
Sure.
So, okay. All right. Well, that then I'll make a motion to adjourn the budget committee of WFRC.
I'll second that.
We have a motion. We have a motion and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right. We are adjourned. Thanks so much.
Thank you all.
Thank you guys.
Drive safely, Amy.
Thank you.